the next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
I'm Tim Robertson, the publisher and owner of MyMac.com and the MyMac podcast that you're listening to right now, sitting in Battle Creek, Michigan, next to my good friend and podcast partner,
Chad Perry.
I wonder how long I could hold that for.
Well, probably long enough to bore everybody.
Or annoy them to no end, yeah.
Or have them skip forward.
Skip forward. So we're starting the show a little bit early today. We're going to do this in a couple different segments. I do have a John Nemirovsky segment that we'll put in. Now, I know I actually got an email from a listener last week saying, you said that there was a John Nemo, but then it ended after you guys.
Yeah.
What happened? Where was the segment that you were talking about? What happened was, you know, John's been using that little portable device to do his podcast segments lately, and they sound great. Mm-hmm. He thought it would be a cool idea to put it in his pocket. You know, I can't think of the name of the product now. What is it called? John's screaming at the computer right now, or the iPod. It is the... it's not there either. Where is it? I'm looking on our website.
It may be way back.
The Edirol.
Yeah,
that's right. R-09. So there you go, John. He was. He thought he'd put it in his pocket and then just record that way to see how the sound quality came out and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. So he went to an Apple store, an undisclosed Apple store, and kind of pretended that he didn't know a whole lot about it, about computers, and which one should he get. And an Apple store was a very nice guy, walked him through the whole process. It was very professional. Mm-hmm. The guy was great. And that was pretty much it. And I'm sitting there listening to it, and I keep thinking, okay, any minute John's going to say, hey, I've been recording this on this little device for the MyMac.com podcast. Can I have your permission to air this? Which, of course, John never did.
Oh.
So after listening to it, and after saying on the podcast that, you know, I would be putting this in.
Yeah. No.
So I called John. I was like, dude, I can't use this. You recorded someone without their knowledge. The laws vary state to state.
Right.
But the other aspect is we don't want someone at Apple who's actually a really good sales guy. Mm-hmm. He wasn't pushy. He was informative. He was helpful. Mm-hmm. He didn't try to sell John the highest priced thing. He wanted to know what he was going to use it for.
Right.
Thus, he would know what he should steer him towards.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy might lose his job because of this. Apple doesn't want, you know.
Yeah, but he's hardly indemnified if he doesn't even know he's being recorded.
But there's always the somebody at Apple like could say, maybe you did know that was being recorded. We don't want somebody to get in trouble, so we just didn't air that segment. It was really informative. I really would like to share it with everyone. I just can't.
Right.
Shame on you, John.
Oh, you should have asked, laddie.
Laddie, what's wrong with you? I knew you were going to go with that accent when I said that like that.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
We moved kinda, right into it.
Yeah, I know. I kind of... Bali. So we're waiting to find out if Guy Searle is showing up tonight. I didn't hear from him, but maybe he forgot that we're doing a podcast tonight. It is, for all intents and purposes, as we record this, just a couple days from Macworld. In fact, most people will listen to this probably on Monday.
Either that or you're listening to it on the jet plane on your way to Macworld Expo.
On a jet plane. I'm going to Macworld and you're not.
But if you are, you could meet us there. Not
well,
me,
actually,
but Tim.
There's going to be a couple people I know for a fact is showing up.
Cool.
Which is really, really cool. I can't wait to meet some of these people in person that's been emailing and leaving messages and stuff like that over the years. So it's going to be really cool. And again, we are going to have a meetup on Monday, it may be today, the day you're listening to this. If you're in San Francisco and it's Monday and it's not 3 p.m. yet, head over to the Moscone Center, Moscone South Building. We're going to meet outside, or if it's really crappy weather, just inside the doors. At 3 p.m., January 14th, today, if it's Monday, and join us. We're going to do a little podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Something. I'm not even sure yet.
Yeah.
I've got so much work to do. I realize I don't have a copy of Keynote 2.0. And no. I'm taking my laptop, and I don't have the old keynote on there either.
What happened to your old keynote? Or?
Well, that's on the desktop.
Yeah.
So I may be running up to either Grand Rapids or Ann Arbor tomorrow, Friday, to go grab a copy of Keynote 2, which is $80, which I really don't want to have to spend the money, but I kind of need it for the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What we're going to do during the week of the Macworld Expo, come over to the ProSoft booth. They're going to have a pretty large booth. We're going to have an Apple quiz once a day in their booth starting Tuesday, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a free copy of one of their software packages. It's going to be really fun. If you answer 10 questions correctly, you get a prize.
Mm.
If you miss more than three or more questions, you're done.
Yeah, ooh.
And no help from the audience. So if you're there and someone's taking the quiz, no blurting out answers. I'm sure people do that anyways, but, you know.
Yeah, we'll have to get a pair of, like, earmuffs or something to put over their head.
Yeah, put them in the soundproof booth. The
soundproof booth. We'll have $64,000 question.
The booth will probably cost $64,000. Yeah. So that's what we're going to be doing next week. Of course, be sure to look at mymac.com on an hourly basis during the entire week of the Macworld Expo, including Saturday. Every day we're going to have a ton of content, both on the feature side and the blog. On the blog side, I know for a fact that Roger Bourne is going to be blogging, and so is John Farr. And on the feature side, we're going to have videos, we're going to have podcasts, we're going to have articles, we're going to have pictures. We're going to have a lot of content.
Yeah, stay tuned and check frequently because stuff's going to be rolling down the feature side.
Speaking of the Macworld Expo chat, and we might get into this again if Guy shows up, what are you expecting at the Expo? What are you hoping for? What are you most looking forward to seeing as far as products? What do you think's coming
out? Well, what I would like to see, and I got thinking about this, and it's probably dumb because I know we've talked about it already, or we probably have talked about it and just forgot. I would like to see some expansion for the iPod Touch.
Yeah, what do you mean expansion?
As far as more like a PDA,
mm-hmm.
as far as the ability to sync up my address, to enter things into it and sync it back.
Is this something that you would like to see mostly because you would like to buy a Touch and have more compatibility or capability?
I would like to buy a Touch. I probably will buy a Touch, but I would like to see more capability to it than what was initially in there.
Are you...
I would like to see the capabilities of an iPhone without the actual...
Telephone. Right. It could happen.
Yeah.
I personally think we're going to see some kind of an Apple TV 2.0 that's going to incorporate rental via iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that,
It'll install in your nasal cavity.
That's right. So whatever TV you're close by, it'll just work.
There you go.
So we're going to take a break here, although listening to it, you're not going to be able to tell. And we're going to have a guest on here in just a minute, if it all works out to promote an event on Monday.
Yep.
So stay tuned.
And we are back with Guy Searle and Stacy DeGagne from Girls Gone Geek TV.
I've been hearing a lot of this, the Girls Gone Geek TV on the Twit broadcasts.
Oh, and yes.
So, hi, Stacy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
I'm so happy you guys said my last name right. Nobody ever does that.
Well, that's what we have, Chad. That's really Chad's only role in the entire podcast.
This is true.
For the last three and a half years. Chad,
thank you.
I don't know how he pulls it out sometimes. Your name was easy compared to some of the ones that he called. I'm like, how did you know how to say it like that? I don't know. But he does a really good job. So you do a podcast, but you don't do it by yourself, correct?
No, I do not.
Go ahead.
Well, basically, it's Girls Gone Geek, if you haven't known that already. And we are five ladies. It's a technology-based show, and we basically, we're all come from varying backgrounds and, I guess, levels of expertise. And it's kind of a learning environment for all of us, but we just get together and talk about what excites us about technology.
I don't think that technology is really a male domain anymore at all, do you?
No, not really. There probably is maybe a little still of a stigma, but I think women are definitely holding their own.
You know what bothers me, and maybe it's my anti-chauvinistic thing showing through, but I can't stand the whole the booth babes thing. That really bothers me. Does that really kind of irk you?
Yeah, totally. I think that's why we chose the name Girls Gone Geek. We were trying to kind of play off of that. We have a bit of a sense of humor when it comes to that, because it cracks me up, really.
I never really saw the... It seems very 1950 car show-ish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I don't like that. That's a practice that really does need to stop. Or at least there should be booth babes, not just women, but like, you know, bow hunks and the little bow ties and no shirt on, six-pack abs. Basically the opposite of me.
I
think that would be completely fair, and if anybody had a problem with it, well, then I think that they have the problem.
Yeah.
Really. So you guys are going to be at the Macworld Expo next week. Actually, most people are going to be listening to this on Monday. We release it on Friday morning, and people will download it over the weekend. And a lot of people are going to be listening to this early Monday. So if it's early Monday, where should they go? What should they be doing?
Well, I know you guys have an event going on Monday as well, but at 5 p.m., or I'm sorry, at 1 p.m., at the San Francisco State University downtown campus, we're going to be doing an event in conjunction with Leo Lepore. He's going to be there kind of in the beginning, and it's all about creating your own podcast. We're going to kind of talk about what we do, and we're going to talk to Leo about interviewing, and he's launched several other women's careers in podcasting, which I think is kind of interesting. So he's always been kind of supportive of the girls in the biz, so we kind of want to pick his brain on that. And then basically talking about what kind of equipment we use. Three of our hosts have a background in digital filmmaking, so we're going to talk about tools we use for editing and things like that. So it should be really fun.
What do you use mostly? What's your tools of choice?
We have it at work. I have my own laptop, but it's not, you know, I have a MacBook. But at work, we have a G5, and then I edit on Final Cut, and then I do our show on Soundtrack Pro. So those are my tools of choice.
Well, very good tools, of course. Yeah. Obviously, if you were a PC user, we wouldn't have had you on right now. Or we would have ridiculed you to no end.
Stacy, he's kidding. You're a beautiful girl, so we would have had you on no matter what you did.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for that, Guy. After I get on my rant about booths, babe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice. So honestly, anybody listening to this, we, of course, are having our 3 p.m. at the Moscone Center South. But if you want to learn something and you want to meet a real pioneer in the podcasting world, Leo Lepore, he's going to be over there with the Girls Gone Geek. And it is San Francisco State University downtown campus, adjacent to the Westfield Center shopping entrance. Take the elevator to the sixth floor, and it's suite 612.
Perfection.
And, of course, always go up to the girlsongeek.tv, not .com, .tv.
Girls Gone Geek TV.
What did I say?
Girls on Geek.
Did I say that again?
Girls on Geek?
No.
Is that what you said? God.
I have a defense for that. I'm looking at the URL, right?
Uh-huh.
And the G, the second G, just completely disappears for me. So I see girls, and then I see, instead of one, I see on. I don't know why.
Yeah, we're going to buy that, Tim.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Girls Gone Geek TV spells like it sounds.
Stacy, thanks a lot for coming on, and hopefully a lot of our listeners will go check out your stuff if they're not listening already.
And they should be.
And I think that your guys' the little get-together you're having is going to be a lot more informative and probably a lot more entertaining than what we're doing, because we just have a place, but we don't know what we're even doing yet. So.
Well, probably we'll see you around the that week sometime, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be the one that doesn't know how to speak English very well.
And okay. I'll be the one with the ponytail and no hair.
Yeah, okay. If you see someone that's like 7 foot tall, that's basically bald with a ponytail, that's Guy Searle.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Me.
That's for anybody else out there listening as well. Thanks a lot for coming on the show, Stacy.
Thanks for having me.
And so that sounds like a cool event. I wish I had the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's only a week at Macworld. You can't do
everything.
Although
you could always just hire a bum to replace you. It's yours.
Yeah, ours. Who would know the difference?
This is true. As long as Guy stands there next to him.
That's right. They'll be looking at Guy anyways.
Tim had a real rough light, guys.
Yeah. Are you there, Guy?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Question for you. What are you hoping to see, and what do you think you'll see at the Macworld Expo next week? Well, this week, you know. It's kind of weird because people are listening to this during the event. So, mm-hmm. I mean, some people won't even listen to this till after the unveiling
after
on
the
Tuesday.
Keynote, right?
Yeah.
What I'm really, really hoping to see, and I know it's not going to happen, is going to be a mid-range Mac tower. I know it's not going to happen, but that's what I want to see.
What's the price range for something like that, you think?
Well, if the iMac, which includes, you know, the 20 or 24 inch monitor, is in the, you know, the $1,299 to $1,700 range, you figure a tower like that, including, you know, Apple's markup and all the rest of it, would probably be in the neighborhood of about $1,000.
Wow, really? You think?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't see it happening.
No, I don't see it happening either. But what I really want to see, and you know, we've touched on this before, is a much better Apple TV with an optical drive and real hard drives, not those 2.5-inch little tiny ones.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would definitely like to see an upgrade to the Apple TV line. You know, I wish, and I've said this before, I wish that Apple would have positioned the Apple TV to replace something.
Exactly.
Rather than add. I've got, you know, right. I don't use HDMI cables in my system. Everything's component.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That being said, I really wish that Apple would have come out with something that you can plug different components or HDMI cables into, and it would act like a switch, either a software switch where it would do it on screen, or just buttons on the front. I don't really care.
Well, knowing Apple, if they were going to do something like that, it would be done through Front Row, where basically, you know, if you want to watch television, you move it down. And, you know, on the back of it, it would say, okay, plug your cable system in here. Plug your, you know, whatever drive into here. Plug your stereo into here. And whatever it is that you hit with your little tiny remote, you're just switching your inputs via Front Row. And, you know, if you bring up your cable box, then, you know, you'd either have to switch over to your cable remote, or hopefully Apple would have a different type of remote that would allow you to have a little bit more functionality.
Well, if Apple did anything like this, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if Apple did anything like that, you know, it would be a very elegant solution, definitely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have to say that there's something going to be pretty big next week. I really didn't think that it was going to be that big of a keynote, especially after last year's iPhone announcement.
So what's making you think there's going to be something big then?
Well, Apple just quietly, really, released a brand new Mac Pro and an Xer. The brand new Mac Pro is an 8-core machine. Yep. That's a lot of power, fellas. That's some serious
horsepower. Capable of holding 4 terabytes of storage and 32 gig of RAM.
Brand new quad-core Intel Xeon 3.2 processors up to.
Yep.
You'll never need another machine again until next year.
Very, very true. It's an awesome configuration. Here's the thing. It still looks exactly like a G5.
Yeah.
When is Apple going to realize that the cheese grater look, while attractive in its day, Chad's got one sitting right here, I've got one at home, a G5 as well, the cheese grater look needs to be updated.
Yeah, but stainless steel is still popular in the kitchen, so.
Yeah, but this isn't going in the kitchen.
Who's going to put a Mac Pro tower in the kitchen?
I'm just saying.
Well, maybe Rachel Ray, but, you know, other than that.
I think it needs a refreshed look. It still looks better than most of the PCs out there that are using a lot of them beige boxes or
black box.
Black box, and it's just
those god awful flashing blinking lights.
Yeah, the Alienware stuff. I don't like those either.
Oh my god, I can't figure out what the appeal is for that.
So why isn't Apple updating the look of the G? Well, see, I almost said G5, the Mac Pro.
I think mostly because they don't have to. It's a great, as far as the interior of the machine goes. I haven't
seen. It's a good design. It is a good design.
Right. Another computer that is so easy to get to all the internal components.
But you say because they don't have to, but you know what, Guy? At the time, the iPod Mini was the hottest iPod out there.
True.
And Apple canceled it and released the Nano. They didn't have to. Mm-hmm. That mini, the iPod mini, was selling like hotcakes.
Well, yeah, so, but at the same time, there were some major differences between the mini and the Nano. The mini was still hard drive based, while the Nano was flash based.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think you're right, Guy. Part of the push was to get a flash based.
Right. Plus, MP3 you had a color screen with the Nano that you never had with the mini.
Yeah, but they could have simply kept the mini going for a little bit. I mean, it was selling.
They could have run in parallel. Yeah.
Well, they could have actually. It wouldn't have. But the iPod mini at the time was, seriously, it was outselling the original iPod by a magnitude.
Yeah, well, I had a gold first gen. Actually, I guess there was only one gen for the minis.
Yeah, just one gen.
I had a gold mini that was great. You know, it wasn't backlit, and it was a black and white screen. But for what I was using it for, it was wonderful. And I ended up buying a 4 gigabyte Nano. Not long after they came out, probably about a month after they came out. Didn't really need it. It was just one of those, I want that. So yeah, I went out and got it.
One of the other big news stories this week was Apple is standardizing the iTunes prices throughout Europe, mm-hmm. which is something that is long overdue. And yeah, I'm surprised it took too. This long. You think Apple got their wrist slapped a little bit on this?
Oh, yeah. I think the threat of the EU was coming down on them big time.
That's what I think.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that the EU was going after the wrong bad guy here. The bad guy here was, you know, I mean, you have to remember that almost every single country in the EU, you know, the content copyright holders for all the stuff that's on iTunes, you've got different people you have to make deals with in every single one of those countries. So why not go after the UK copyright holders for overcharging so much more than everywhere else? I mean, what I keep seeing is, you know, okay, well, it's the EU, they're supposed to have a common price throughout the entire, you know, Commonwealth or whatever they're calling the union. Mm-hmm. And that works out great until you start figuring in local taxes and VAT and the fact that there is, in a lot of cases, there isn't a uniform price when you're talking of, I mean, a lot of people are still thinking of themselves not as EU members, but as being from the UK or being from France or being from Germany.
I think that's probably most people. I think uniform pricing is probably the way to go.
Well, hopefully you can pay for everything in euros.
Yeah.
Yeah. FileMaker, who I'm meeting with next week, has shipped Bento, their new consumer-level database program, which, you know, I downloaded the demo or the beta, mm-hmm. whatever it was, and I seriously had only launched it one time and didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
I've just been so busy, and maybe I'll get a copy of it during the Macworld Expo, or maybe not. I don't know. But I am looking forward to meeting with Apple and learning more about a FileMaker, a subsidiary of Apple, mm-hmm. and learning more about the program because it looks really interesting to me.
Well, is the demo now dead if you try to launch it?
You know, I haven't even tried to launch it.
I'll try that right now.
Okay. Uh-oh, Chad is yawning.
Oh, yeah.
What else do we need to cover? Oh.
Yeah.
One of the things, have you launched it?
Yeah.
What's it say?
It says, enter your name and license key.
Bento,
says Bento preview. Expiration date, February 14th.
Oh, so that's still good for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, I already entered the license key one time before. I'm not sure why it's asking for it again.
All right.
Whatever.
One of the things I wanted to talk about before we wrap up, you know, it's going to be a much shorter show this week because it's it's days before the Macworld Expo. There's not a whole lot to talk about other than what we already have talked about. One of the things that's been bothering me about macOS 10, and to some smaller degree, the classic Mac, and Windows PCs. Why does printing suck so much on computers? Why is it when you hit print on your... if you're in Photoshop and you hit Command-P to bring up the print dialog, why is that dialogue so confusing? Why are there multiple menus, multiple windows? Go in.
No, and
if somebody's sitting in front of their computer right now, go into iPhoto and hit print to bring up your print dialogue and look at the multitude of crap you have to go through just to
print something.
Yeah, there's so many choices.
And the sad thing is that neither platform has found a decent way to do it.
They haven't changed anything.
Yeah.
Not really. The printing, I think, under Mac OS X is even worse than it was under OS X. It's even more confusing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but at the same time, they've got you know, standards now that you can set up for different types of media.
But they're not using it, though, Guy. That's my point. And somebody please explain to me why I still, in 2007, can't do something I could 10 years ago in 1997, and that's print a directory on my Macintosh. And for those who don't understand what I mean, mm-hmm. I can't print a window. Right. If I have 5,000 items in a window and I need a printout of that directory, that's not possible with a standard Mac OS. Why is that? It's retarded.
Can you do that under Windows?
Sure. And you could do it under the classic Mac as well. It's unbelievable that has still not been addressed. It's unbelievable.
Well, the sad thing is somebody's probably going to send us an email.
No, there's no way to do it without any third party third party software is the only other way to do it. It's insane. But printing, and I'm used to printing on the Mac, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been using OS X, OS X, since the day it came out in beta, okay? I'm used to it. Mm-hmm. I'm an expert. But when I'm over at my relative's house teaching them how to use their computers mm-hmm. and showing them their brand new printer that I hooked up for them and installed the ink and I show them how to print a picture and they want to print it on glossy and they want two pictures on each page.
Right.
Do you know how many dialogue crap print boxes you have to go through in iPhoto to accomplish that? And for an unsophisticated user, that's a very daunting task. Mm-hmm. I can't believe in 2008 that Apple hasn't come up with a better print dialogue, a better way of showing this is what I'm printing on this picture on what type of paper. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as that. This is the document that I want to print on this picture, and this mm-hmm. is how it's going. There's no beginner's way of doing that that's not intimidating. Mm. And heaven forbid you got more than one printer. Good Lord. I think printing on the computer in 2008 right now is the worst it's ever been in the last 20 years.
Well, maybe that will be the theme for the keynote. Steve Jobs will stand up and say,
printing is now good. Yeah.
Wouldn't you ever want to print exactly what you saw and not have to go through a bunch of work to do it? Well, we got to thinking.
We listened to this geeky podcast and
wave your hands in a lyrical fashion.
And in 3 days, we scrapped the entire launch that we talked about for the keynote and decided, let's rewrite the print software.
Just for this idiot up in Michigan who... Well, that's going to wrap up our segment. We do have something from John Nemo coming up.
Yep.
I don't know what it is. He sent it to me, and I said, yeah, I'll save it.
Sweet.
But, you know, I've been so busy. Yeah. In fact, tomorrow it looks like I'm going to have to go up to the Apple store, tomorrow being Friday, mm-hmm. from when we record this. I need a copy of Keynote 2. I don't have a copy of it.
Oh, you don't have iWork 08?
No, I don't.
Shame on you.
And we're doing this contest at the ProSoft booth. And I could probably do it in Microsoft Office 08 using PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started to kind of put this together. The last time we did it was in Keynote.
Right.
And I thought, well, I could, the new PowerPoint looks pretty interesting. But the more I look at the themes that are built in and the transition, mm-hmm. it's still PowerPoint.
Right.
And I don't really feel like sitting at the Macworld Expo with Big Mac geeks walking around mm-hmm. with a PowerPoint presentation going. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't sound like my idea of, you know.
Well, is there any way you could make the HTML version work or not?
No, not really, because you're going to see the web browser. I like it to take up the whole window. So
gotcha.
I'm basically going to be in a car tomorrow for 2.5 hours to go. And unless you want to skip work tomorrow and go for me.
What time are you going?
Oh, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning.
No. Well, yeah. I got to be at work tomorrow.
Yeah, see how he is, guy. won't even skip a nice paying job to sit in the car and be bored for a couple hours with me. Some friend he is, huh?
Well, I could pick you up a coffee.
Well, that's not going to help me putting this whole thing together before we get there, is it?
Oh, well, there is that.
And it's a little bit too large to send via FTP or something. So anyways, that's our segment for the week. We're going to most likely have something from John Nemo, because now that I think about it, maybe I don't have something from him.
Maybe you're just thinking you had something from him.
No, I seem to remember downloading something and him wanting me to keep it safe.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
In fact, because
don't tell anyone.
Because when I finally talked to him, and Guy, when you listen to the show back, you'll understand why there was no Nemo segment last week. When I finally, no, it was before. I forget. He sent me something to replace it with, but I had already posted the show at that point. Mm-hmm. I'd already done all the editing, so I was like, well, you missed that one. So he was like, oh, hold it for 161, so. Oh, this is My Mac Podcast 161, by the way.
Yes, it is 161.
It was listed as 140 on the website for last week.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, nobody told me until today. I get an email from John Emo. Why is it listed 140? And I was like, these people download it and all this stuff, and nobody even noticed this.
Well, but if you subscribe through iTunes, it still shows up as 160.
As 160, right, and that's how I actually download our own show. So
I think it was because we waved our hands in a lyrical fashion. Sorry.
It's because Tim has a newborn. That's actually why. So anyways, that's the show. Hopefully I'll get to meet a lot of the listeners out there at the MacWorld Expo. If you're listening to it during the week, look for Guy and myself, David Cohen. We'll all be wearing media badges, kind of keep an eye peeled for those media badges. Mm-hmm. If you see one that says Tim Robertson, hey, stop me. Say hi.
Yep.
Love to meet with you guys. Again, we are meeting on Monday.
Yep, we are very approachable.
Very approachable. Monday,
it's almost
3 p.m., Monday, 3 p.m., if Guy will stop interrupting me.
About what?
At the Moscone South building, either right outside or right inside the door. We'll get put together a little podcast and, meet some of the listeners, have some fun. Hey, Guy.
Yes?
I'll see you in 3 days, man.
Oh, yeah, I will be there, dude.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.